Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Sports Fiend Show. I'm your host, Ian Mackey, and hanging with my boy, Arvin. So, Vance, how you doing, man?
Oh, I'm all right.
And you cutting it close, ain't you?
Man, back like we never left, man. We cutting it close, man. You know, I got caught up in Madden League, man. My bad. But, Vance, State, what's up? State, man. State doing his thing, man. Our Vance School, for the listeners who don't know, Vance School is Mississippi State. And every time Mississippi State play well, or we talk about Mississippi State, all we say is, Vance, say it for the people so they know.
State!
That's what I'm talking about. State. So, stay on the mat, man. So, Vance, how you feel about your team in the SEC? And they got some big games coming up, man. Talk about State.
Yeah,
man. Let them know about State.
Yeah, they got a cupcake game coming up this week. Louisiana Tech, they should win that handily, but they got Alabama the game after that. And they got Ole Miss and Arkansas. I know Ole Miss and Arkansas haven't been doing good, but they are in the SEC West. They are in the SEC. Alabama game will be tough. It's at Alabama. Mississippi State does have a good defense, but the offense shows up sometimes and they don't show up. So you never know what we're going to get out of the offense, but I know the defense is going to come to play, man. So. We'll see, man. I ain't going to call it. Everybody, Alabama been running through everybody, so it's going to be tough.
Yeah, I feel that Mississippi State has one of the top defenses in the country. I mean, probably the best defense in the country. They got some of the best D-tackles I've seen, featured NFL players. Now, the SEC always got future NFL players. I know the Washington team has at least 4 or 5 Alabama players in their starting lineup. So, you know, that is a legit thing to have.
Just got
great defensive players. Yeah. So they are an elite defensive team. So, you know, what's more than anything is that, you know, they play well against Alabama. Now, they got a prequel against Louisiana Tech, which, you know, I don't feel it's going to be tough for them, but I feel like they could do some things to give Alabama some problems. Defensively, offensively, I worry about Fitzgerald. I worry about can he handle the big moment. His draft stock's always fluctuating. So, you know, I really hope that the kid, you know, brings it for State. If not for any other team, you got to bring it for State.
As far as the draft stock go, man, I think it's over with, man, really. He might be a 7th-round draft pick now because his season has been so up and down, and he really can't. This year, it's inefficient passing, you know. They thought he was going to be able to pass the ball. And I mean, Moorhead came in, he thought he was going to bring that Penn State offense in, and really he had to go back to running the ball like Mississippi State has been doing, you know, just incorporate that into his system because – Fitzgerald just couldn't handle a Moorhead's offense at first. And I think Fitzgerald really suffered from the injury last year. I think it's a mental block he got going on too, though. That's why he throws the ball quicker than he has to sometimes. It looks like he's just timid out there sometimes. I think that lick he took last year, I think it kind of messed him up a little bit. But I think Mississippi State has the weapons. Like I said, I don't think they're going to be able to beat Alabama. They might. Alabama been blowing through everybody, so it's just going to be a tough game to play, man. But like you said, the other two games, Arkansas, Ole Miss, they should win those games. Ole Miss is a rivalry game. You never know how that's going to go, but we'll see, man. I'm hoping they win all the 4 of their games, but is that going to happen? I don't know, man. But we'll see.
The SEC is tough sledding, man. The SEC is tough. It's tough sledding, just period, point blank period. It's tough sledding, and it's hard to come out that conference unscathed. So Alabama has a test, but the power rankings are out too. Alabama's number 1, Clemson's number 2, LSU's number 3, Notre Dame's 4, Michigan's 5, and Georgia's 6. So, you know, Ohio State's 10, but it can fluctuate. Kentucky's going to play Georgia this week. That should set something up. I think Georgia's going to win that game. And that should help some teams out. But no team who's ever started the first week of the I call it the, basically the bowl selection committee. No team that started three at the beginning of it stayed three. So good luck to LSU staying three at that spot. You know.
Yeah, because LSU playing Alabama this week. That's going to be a tough game, man. Even though it is Death Valley, but it's Alabama. Yeah, so Alabama's a 14-point favorite, so we'll see what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, you know, it's going to be a tough – SEC tough, period, point-blank period. It's a tough conference. We always – I always mess with you about it, but it's truly a tough conference. One of the toughest conferences. It is the toughest conference.
The toughest conference. The toughest conference.
I'm giving you your team props, man. But, Vance, one more time for the people who don't know. Let them hear it. Let me hear it one more time.
State.
State. Well, yeah, we got it. So everybody cheer for State against Louisiana Tech. Everybody cheer for State against Alabama. But, Vance, let's move to Derrick Rose, man. 50 points last night. Jimmy Butler set out. Derrick Rose came in and gave me the old Derrick Rose on Halloween. Derrick Rose was Derrick Rose from 2011 for Halloween. Basically, that's all it was. And I like the fact that I really enjoy, you know, seeing the highlights of the game and him being emotional and how he's going through a lot of court case-wise in L.A., but we ain't going to discuss all that. What we can discuss today, he really had a good game, man. And it's good to see a guy who was battling injury after injury after injury. He was never the same player after those injuries. You know, it's like seeing Grant Hill and seeing Grant Hill have a good game. Like, man, because if you people remember who Grant Hill was in his prime, you know that ain't the Grant Hill you see today. So the Derrick Rose you seen last night was a glimpse of the player he used to be. Derrick Rose dropped 50, made a key block down the stretch against Dante Exum for the corner three, sealed the game. They won 125-128. Against the Utah Jazz, which Utah Jazz cut him once he got traded with Jay Crowder to Utah after the Cavaliers broke up their new little team last year. So, man, let me hear your thoughts about Derrick Rose and him dropping 50.
Well, yeah, that was good. It was a great game for Derrick Rose. You like to say vintage Derrick Rose. The only thing you see the difference between Derrick Rose then and Derrick Rose now, this game, is his athleticism. He can't really jump like he used to or he did back in the day. You know, he had to find other ways of scoring because, you know, Derrick Rose would have dunked on you three or four times in the game. But I'm glad to see he had a good game. Like you said, he's been going through injuries. His career has declined. You know, he's just going through a lot. And it's good to see him have a good game. I like the defense he played in the game with the block shot. I just liked his overall game. And like you said, the emotion he showed after the game was, like, priceless, man. I just wish, hope he had more games like this, though. But injuries can take a toll on you, so we'll see.
Yeah. You won't get this back-to-back game. You won't get this a month from now. This was a little glimpse, a little moment of Derrick Rose that he looked good. And he was like, man, I'm glad to see dude playing well again after all the injuries, you know. But, Vance, your boy, Klay Thompson, this your boy, Klay Thompson, 52 3/4. Now, I watched some of that game. I was watching NBA TV Monday night, players only. If you get a chance, if you have NBA TV, get a chance to look at Candace Parker, Isaiah Thomas, and everybody else, and Steve Smith, and all of them discuss the games. Great commentator, Greg Anthony, too. Can't forget UNLV Greg Anthony. You enjoy great commentary of the game by players breaking down the game. It's really a good insight. But, Vance, I was watching pieces of that game on NBA TV, and I'm telling you, it's like they've never seen this guy before on Golden State or Klay Thompson. Wide open three after wide open. Now, Klay had to knock him down. Don't get me wrong. So he had to run the plays, knock him down. But I was looking at Fred Hoiberg like, this ain't it. Whatever you coaching, whatever the scouting report you giving on these players, there's just too many clean looks, man. He had too many clean looks. I mean, when I say clean, I mean he had a chance to brush his teeth, take out the trash, look at the girls in the crowd, do his fingers and give them his number sometimes just to get the shot. And it made no sense because he's a 3-point shooter. Everybody know you force Klay to dribble or try to take it to the rim. because his percentage is dropped when he drives to the lane. I appreciate the 52-point explosion in three quarters, but that was some horrendous defense. That wasn't no NBA defense. That was some program for basketball court against the seventh graders. It was worse than All-Star game defense to a degree. And that's the culture they're doing in Chicago. Like, but Clint Thompson, 52-point play, that was dope. I appreciate it. It was lovely. Man, that was some horrible defense. Man, so give me your thoughts on that game, man.
14 threes and three quarters, man. That's all I got to say. 14 threes and three quarters. That was a great shooting. That was a great shooting from Klay Thompson. Like you said, he had a lot of open shots. They had a couple shots with a hand in the face. He hit, though. He knocked those down, too. But, you know, Klay Thompson has erupted like this before, but he hasn't had 14 three-pointers. And breaking his teammate record from a year before, Steph Curry, he had 13. He broke it by one, man. It was a great shooting night for Klay Thompson, man. If I was him, I probably would have wanted to stay in the game to see how many points I could hit. I looked up in 1982, Larry Bird had 11 threes. He was 11 for 52 for the whole season. And Klay Thompson hit 14 threes in one night. And everybody knows Larry Bird is a three-point shooter. That's crazy. That is crazy. 11 for 52 for the whole season. I mean, you just, hey.
That's how much the game has changed. You give it to him. And think about this. You could allow hand checking back then. Hand checking has changed the game. One element I feel like could help bring back the game of basketball is hand checking. Just a little hand. Bring a hand checking back. I know everybody wants to see the freedom of score. But give these top-notch defensive players some type of plus, something to help them out, because all we're doing is helping the offensive players. Let's give the defensive players a little something. And hand checking, I could only imagine how much better Kawhi Leonard or the Greek Freak would be, or Klay Thompson would be on defense if you allow hand checking. It only makes them that, if they're a great defensive player now, imagine you give them one more little element that they can use to play the game of basketball. They would be some truly elite. But you know what, man? What I truly miss, and this is on my little rant, once he hit his fifth or sixth three, this is what you need old veterans from the old NBA would do. You know what that veteran would do? Once he go for the next three, put my forearm in the chest.
Put him on his butt.
He ain't going to shoot no more threes, huh? Yeah.
That's right.
Sometimes you can't let these – and Golden State, they got front runners, and they dancing, and they showboat. A little forearm to the chest, showboat and stop. He 3 points, he's going to drive to the lane. Ain't going to be no more of that, because the veteran player will let the team know, we ain't going to keep letting this man shoot threes on us. You ain't going to be in my house drinking up all my Kool-Aid, eating all my flaming hot Cheetos or Funyuns. I'm pissed off to it. You in my house. It wasn't even going to stay. It was in Chicago. The disrespect, man. Just blatant disrespect.
Hey, man, he hit the bucket. Like you said, he hit the shots, man. And they scored 92 points in a half. When have you ever seen that before? I don't know if that's a record, but I know it's got to be close, man. 92 points in a half. Man, you just got to give it to him, man. He had a great game, man. Like I said, I'm not even a Golden State fan. Matter of fact, I kind of hate him a little bit. But 52 points, man, in three quarters. Like I said, if I was him, I'd been like, hey, put me back in the game, coach. But we'll see. I don't know if he's going to have that kind of rushing again this year, but we know he will have a game. He hit 6 or 7 threes. 8 threes in the game because he had dunked before. So it was just a good game overall for him, though.
Yeah, Van. Also, even though it's midnight, it's Friday, but technically we start the show on Friday, but because of the scheduling. Van, I got to tell you, this boy, Nick Mullins, balled tonight on John Gruden. And when I say ball, I mean 16 for 22, 262 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, 34-3. I thought the Raiders were going to blow the team out. Dude came in on the practice squad on a short week And Smack John Gruden and his Raiders. 10-year contract, John Gruden, who done let go of Amari Cooper, Khalil Mack. And, boy, I swear to you, man, Derek Carr don't look like Derek Carr 2 years ago.
No, he doesn't, man. He looked like a shell of the former self. But, yeah, going back to San Francisco real quick, Nick Mullins, shout out to Nick Mullins, though. He's a USM Southern Mississippi grad. Just wanted to put that out there. I can't claim from Mississippi because he's from Alabama, but he did get his training here in the great state of Mississippi. But, yeah, man, he had a good game. 3 touchdowns, like you say. How many yards he passed for?
262. A quarterback who ain't never seen no coverages. You should have blitzed them. The Raiders defense look, man, they look like they don't want to be there no more, man. Everybody want out. I feel like when I look at that team, everybody want out. They say, John Gruden, I don't want to be here. It's like when you get a new
John
daddy and he drinks too much.
Yeah.
They want him out, man.
Well, John Gruden got on TV
tonight.
John Gruden got on TV tonight and said everybody want to be a Raider. A lot of players want to be a Raider. But I'm going to give John, I'm going to hold my judgment on the Raiders because I remember back in the day when the Cowboys traded away their best player. They had Herschel Walker and traded him to the Vikings for like 6 players and they got picks and first round draft picks and all that. And that's when the Cowboys built their team up. They got Emmitt Smith and then they got Michael Irvin and they got the defense. They built the defense up. It was all behind that Herschel Walker trade. So let's give him a minute, man. I know we in this world where we want everything in the instant. Everything has to be right now, right now, right now. But I'm going to give him a little chance. I'm not even a John Gruden fan. Let's not even say that. I don't like him. I don't like Jay Gruden. But I'm going to give him a year or two just to see what kind of direction this team is going in. And they finna get out of town, so hey. They just starting anew in Vegas, so we'll see what they're going to do.
It ain't the fact that the trade. Fans, I was watching the game, and they were playing with no type of effort. I'm looking at the defense like, yo. I'm like, yo, they done checked out. Man, they got like 8 weeks left. This team got 8 weeks left.
Hey, man, be like that sometimes. They already making vacation plans.
Yeah, they're already on vacation.
Oh, yeah.
This team is already on vacation. And I'm looking at the what they're 1-8, 1-7. They're 1-7. With eight more games to play. 8 more games to play.
Yeah, man.
They play the Chargers on the 11th. They play the Cardinals. Wow. That's a wonderful game. Then they play the Ravens, the Chiefs, the Steelers, the Bengals, the Broncos, the Chiefs again, the Lions, the Rams, the Packers, the Seahawks. They play all playoff teams who are trying to make moves and position themselves for the playoffs. Outside of the Cardinals, the Chargers trying to make the playoffs, the Ravens trying to make the playoffs, the Chiefs, the Steelers, the Bengals, the Broncos. They play the Chiefs twice. Pat Mahomes is doing his thing. He's got to play the Lions and the Rams, and that's at the end of the season. The Packers, they're going to be playing for something. The Seahawks probably going to be playing for something in the season. So John Gruden is going to have a lot of press conferences where if your team is already checked out and they got 8 weeks left, when you check out, injuries start to happen. Other players get injured because you know you ain't going nowhere, and you know if your contract's up, because in the NFL your contract ain't guaranteed, and you know you may get released because ain't nobody playing well on the team. They got all these draft picks. You're gonna give lackluster effort, which causes mistakes, which causes key players on your team that you may want to keep for next season to get hurt. A mixture that is not good. And John Gruden needs to correct it. I don't know how you can get these players to check back in, but they done checked out. They done dropped the key off. They done got their parking pad, and they driving home. They ain't coming back to this job. Not mentally. Physically, you could be there. Mentally, they don't.
Yeah, they are gone, man. But like I said, man, we're going to hold off on – I'm going to hold off on John Gruden. I'm going to give him 2 years. See what kind of – what these draft picks turn into that he got. He has stockpiled a couple of draft picks, so I just want to see what kind of team he's going to be. You know, he's saying he's going to do all these quarterback things. I forgot what the name of it when he was on ESPN, and he talking about what players is what. We're going to put that to a test now. We're going to see what kind of – coaches, GM, whatever you want to call them now. We're going to see what he got, though. We'll see, man. I'm going to hold my judgment on, though.
Mm-hmm. Man, I also want to discuss another event that happened tonight. I didn't get a chance to watch the game, really. Not all of it, because Brooklyn was acting up. I had to turn on Sesame Street and entertain her with Sesame Street. But I got to watch the fourth quarter of the game. And your boy Kyrie Irving cut his hair, ended. Once he cut his hair, he had a 31-point game. Then tonight he had 28-7-3. The Greek Freak had 33-11. But the Greek Freak looked good. In Budenholzer offense, the Greek Freak is amazing. And I like the fact that Budenholzer can allow the way Budenholzer runs his offense. He could sit the Greek Freak for a little bit, and the team can hold on. Like, that's good for your superstar to get some rest, because down the stretch you're going to meet him in their game. So the way Budenholzer is coaching right now, he's doing a fine job. They're 7-1. No need to, you know, Boston 6-2, but Kyrie Irving cut his hair, starting to play a little better, moving around a little better. I think he's starting to get more confidence in that knee. But the NBA is pushing right along, man. The NBA is pushing right along. The Kings keep winning. They smack Atlanta. I think he didn't say Atlanta tonight. And they look 146-115. They ball. Your boy De'Aaron Fox had a triple double. He had 31 points, 15 assists, 10 rebounds. So if you look up, the Kings are 6-3. You know, Bagley had 18-5. It was just, they are playing some really good basketball right now. I'm excited for the Sacramento Kings. I mean, I want them to keep winning. That would be a nice, you know, surprise team of the season. Yeah. Hey, man, the Sacramento Kings, young guns are doing their thing. All right. So, man, how do you feel about, you know, Kyrie Irving?
Well, as far as Kyrie go, man, I mean, you had to know Kyrie was going to start playing better. I mean, you know, Kyrie is one of the top point guards in the league, one of the best players in the league. I mean, he had a couple of games that he wasn't playing too good. Like I said, maybe, I don't know, maybe it was a haircut. But all I know is I know he wasn't going to play like that for the whole year. That wasn't going to happen. But as far as, like, you saying you like the way Milwaukee's playing, I think Milwaukee still needs another player, man. I mean, they got the Greek Freak, Chris Middleton can shoot. But Eric Bledsoe, I'm not too sold on Brogdon either. I know Eric Bledsoe is a decent player, but I think it's like, I don't know, sometimes he's there and sometimes he's not. And I would like to see, like, Thon Maker, what happened to him? He played pretty good his rookie year. Now it's like he's not even getting the playing time. I mean, he's kind of like, I'm not saying he's the Greek Freak, but he's kind of in that mode, man. I think them on the court together, they play
good.
They
got Brook Lopez.
He's not playing. And I understand they got Brook Lopez. I'm just saying, give the man some minutes. Let's see what he can do. I mean, tonight he didn't even touch the court. I mean, you got Ilya Sober. I mean, he playing good. I mean, you got Henson. He playing decent. But, hey, man, what's up with Mesa? I just want to see him play. As far as the Sacramento Kings, 6-3, surprise team of the early NBA season. Like you said, Fox had a triple-double. Bagley looked good tonight. They just been, Willie Cauley-Stein been playing pretty good these last couple games. Sacramento Kings seem like they're going to turn some heads. I'm not sold on them either, because like I said, it's early, but we'll see. We'll give them a couple more weeks, probably December, see what's going on with them. Then I'll say, you know, okay, they done turned around. They done turned the team around. But right now, it's too early to say, but they have been playing some inspired basketball.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. So it's just good to see young teams start good early in the season. It gives them confidence because the NBA set it up to where the horrible teams play the horrible teams early on, and you can see what those wins are doing to the Sacramento Kings because they start to get confidence. Young players are starting to feel it themselves. So once they start getting to the meat of their conference, they develop enough confidence to get to the meat of their conference that they should win some games. They should have some confidence. They should start to believe in themselves. And they're talented. They got a lot of talent on their team. I mean, young, raw talent, like just guys. But I don't think they have any player on their team on the bench that's been around winning, that knows what winning is. That or coaching, or just has a winning culture. Like, I don't think that they have nurtured or grown a winning environment. I remember their owner wanted to do cherry pick all the time when he first owned the team. That's because he didn't know too much about basketball. But you got to have a good foundation in order to be a great organization. It got to start with the owner. The owner. Not to say he knows enough about basketball, but he'll put people in charge that know enough about basketball and sit back and own the team. And I'm not saying that his owner will do it, but he's got to know how to place the right people in charge. And I don't know if Lottie DeVos is the guy, but the only reason I say I'm good at what I do or when people, is because you have good people around you. Like, Jordan couldn't win without Scottie. Kobe couldn't win without Shaq, but he had to have Jerry Buss is the owner. He had to have Jerry Buss had to get the fortitude to keep Jerry West and Miss Kupchak as the general manager and the general manager of basketball and assistant general manager. And then Kupchak moved because he learned from Jerry West. You can't have that foundation and bring in Phil Jackson. So it all goes together. You just can't have one good person. You got to build a culture and have great people throughout. Like, I think the owner of the Brooklyn Nets has done one good thing. Like, he hired Atkins as the coach, and they hired a capable GM who was an assistant GM for the Spurs. He came up there and hired Atkins, and they played tough. Atkins hasn't been playing tough basketball. So we start building good habit on top of a good habit. And put another good habit, then you start to see it come together. But you have the patience. Nothing happened overnight. So a lot of these organizations, they just don't know how to build good habits and hire the right people and stay with that. Because a lot of people are like, oh, we have a bad season. Stay the course. If you know you're doing the right thing, stay the course. It will work out. And these are a lot of organizations don't have that, man.
Yeah, but like
I
said, man, you got to give these people a chance, man. You never know. Glad DeVos, he hadn't to date, you don't think Don DeVos has been a good GM. But like the team is just like we said, trying to turn around, but I know like I said, it's early. But we'll see, man. I'm not sold on them yet, and I just wanna get mid season, see what's going on. Then I can say, okay, they've been playing pretty good, they're a good team, but now, man, it's early. It's too early to say anything. But what about J.R. Smith, man? What do you think about his situation?
I mean, you signed a contract. You knew what was going to happen when LeBron left. I don't feel bad for J.R. Smith. I just don't. Like, that's why I didn't want to discuss it. I don't feel bad for J.R. Smith. You took the money. You knew LeBron wasn't going to be there. Like, know how to manage your contract and know the years out and know when LeBron's leaving or whatever. But what you want with JR? He don't play defense. All he do is shoot the three now. And who's gonna take on that contract?
No, I don't think that many teams gonna take on that contract. Matter of fact, I don't think any team right now is gonna take on that contract. Maybe, you know, later on down the line, close to playoffs, you know, trade deadline, somebody get hurt, so
take a buyout.
Feel like JR Smith is ready to come in. Yeah, you get a buyout, you know, and they might do it like that, but right now, man, I don't think any team is too early for to take on J.R. Smith and his problems or, you know, whatever they think of him, man, because we don't know. We're on the outside looking in. You know, you hear a lot of stuff about J.R. Smith, but All I do know is he can shoot the ball, though. I mean, like you said, he takes a lot of threes. All he takes a lot of threes, but he hit a lot of threes, too. So, man, I know a team out there going to be looking for somebody who can score. So, never know. Buy him out. Somebody might pick him up at the end of the year. I won't be surprised, though.
You got to take a cut on that buyout. I know that much. The GMs, they want some of that money back if they're going to buy you out and let you become a free agent. But, fans, it's been a great show tonight, man. We got two more shows next week, and then I'm on vacation. Then I will come back Thursday. But I'm not doing this on vacation. I know we talked about it. I'm not doing this on vacation. Not going to be able to do it. But we out. Peace, love, the Sports Scene Show. Holler at your boy. Stay.